everyone. Especially to you, Tommy. I want to welcome everyone, welcome our guests that are here. We have some people visiting. Wonderful to see faces that we don't have here on a regular basis. Thank you for being here. I also wanted to add something to the announcements. Charles Malir and Jackie have really been sick for the last couple of weeks, and I've gotten a couple of emails from him, and they just don't seem to be able to get rid of this cold. Excuse me, I forgot to turn this on. There we go. Now, I woke up. There we go. But Charles and Jackie Malir have been rather sick with some type of cold, and I think if all of us would pray and ask it for God's intervention, that would be a big help, a dramatic help. I have confidence that that could occur. Yesterday, I made a trip down to southern Colorado. I went down via I-25, got off on Walsenburg, went over to Del Norte. I don't know if you've ever been there before. What beautiful area there through the San Juans. And then I came up 285, and if you want to see a spectacular drive, especially now, the mountains from about 9,000 feet up are all covered with snow, and the clouds were looming over them yesterday. But from Pagosa Springs to Buena Vista, wow, is that spectacular. And God's creation is truly wonderful. When I look at the plan of salvation, I am first drawn to the events of the end time. I do believe that the end time events are centered around the day of the Lord, and I've talked about that several times. And we must first know what it is and how long it exists. This is basically kind of a review over that time frame of what it is. The day of the Lord is the end time day of God's vengeance on this earth. You know, when people look through the Bible, can't quite figure out when it starts, when it ends. When you go just read in Revelation what starts to happen when God intervenes in the time frame of end time events, you know exactly when it is. But I want to go through and give a proof of that. And today we'll even add something on to this. So we won't just deal exactly with the day of the Lord. But we're going to look at some other events that I found that are quite interesting. As I've said before, the day of the Lord is inclusive of the seven trumpets and also inclusive of the bowl plagues. Those together make up 1 year and make up that day of the Lord. I'll show you this here by our little board. There we go. I want to get a little view of myself here. So what we're seeing here and what I've described in my crude little drawing is when the first trumpet begins right here, we'll have all seven of them will occur. You'll have the resurrection at the seventh trumpet. But in addition to that, there is also the seven bowl plagues that will occur. This time frame of the day of the Lord is 1 year in length, or we could also say, there's another biblical term, 1,260 days. Now let's go through some scriptural proof of this. We've done this at times before. But I think review is also good. We're going to look here at Revelation 6 and verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened up the sixth seal. So we're having the seals that are transpiring. We're going to come to the end of it, and the first trumpet is going to occur. Give you kind of a time frame here. And lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Now, there has been some controversy before the Feast of Tabernacles that the significant blood moons that occurred, the one during the Feast of Tabernacles was significant. In fact, I wrote down some of these things. It was predicted that Jesus Christ was to return then on this blood moon and was to come on the molad of the seventh month or the first day of the seventh month, which is the day of trumpets. The day of trumpets, or even could be on the day of atonement, closer to the full moon to see that blood moon. And what is important? I don't think Jesus Christ has returned, has he? Hasn't come. At least I haven't seen him. I haven't seen any of the events that really were to transpire. So in actuality, it was a false prediction. So what do we do? Yes, there are these events that are going to happen. We need to watch. We need to look at events. And I think you could just say, looking at the events since the feast, there are some pretty dramatic events that are changing our culture, our society, changing the world that is so different from when I grew up as a child. So we're going to go back to or continue on in Revelation 6. We'll go here to verse 13. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together, and every mountain and every island were moved out of their places. Some of these significant events that are happening right after this blood moon. And the kings of the earth, going on to verse 15, and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman, every free man, I think you could say everyone on this earth was trying to find a place of protection and safety. And they hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains. Protection, safety is what the world is looking for. And said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. When we read this verse 17, we know that the beginning of God's wrath has come. The beginning of that first trumpet right there. When we're reading that in verse 17 that we just read, there is the beginning of the day of the Lord. And who shall be able to stand? As these days start to transpire, and yes, they are off in the future, and we don't know exactly when they're going to start, when the date is. We're told that no man knows the day or the hour, but we can watch events and see what is transpiring. By the book of Daniel and Revelation, we can see that events are looming towards that time. So now as the sixth seal ends and the first trumpet begins, we have the beginning of the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord begins on the first trumpet. And we've identified this here scripturally. In looking at the day of the Lord, we'll see here in Joel 2, and if you want to follow along with me, Joel 2 and verse 1, here's another indication of the day of the Lord. It isn't just a one time that it's talked about in the Bible, but several times it's indicated its length, that it is a year, and that it is something of God's intervention on this earth. In Joel 2 and verse 1, it tells us, blow you the trumpet in Zion. In Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord has come. Has come. For it is nigh at hand. Now, when we look up the history of Zion, Zion is a location that is south of the Haram, near the city of David. If you'll want to look at a map to identify that. It is also near the Gihon Springs. The terms Mount Zion and the Temple Mount in many biblical contexts are synonymous. As we continue on here in Joel 2, we'll go on to verse 2. It is a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong, there hath never been the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. So the power of the world is going to be leveled, reduced, because we have looming on the horizon Jesus Christ, who is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and is going to reign and rule on this earth. So we have read of one of the biblical recordings of the day of the Lord, the beginning, as this day begins. And as we end the sixth seal and we start the first trumpet, there's kind of a pause in there. And it's because events are taking a different turn here in events. The trumpets are about to begin. A transition into a definitive descriptive time is given. The beginning of 1 year of God's intervention that will last through the seven trumpets and seven bowl plagues until the last bowl plague is fulfilled. Now, as we're looking at the trumpets, and we've always known this in God's church, and people read this in the Bible, we come to the seventh trumpet, and we have the resurrection right here at the seventh trumpet. So I like looking at this on a timeline, because sometimes our perspective of how these events occur is not clear, is not, you know, identified properly in our mind, but looking at it on a timeline, written here, you not only hear what I'm saying, but you're seeing with your own eyes what that timeline is, and we're seeing it with a proof from the Bible. So we see the ending of the bowl plagues. We've seen the starting. Now we're going to see the ending of the bowl plagues and identify this in Revelation. We'll look at Revelation 16 and verse 17. Revelation 16 and verse 17, we'll see there that God has given an indication that things are going to stop, come to an end, and then Jesus Christ is going to reign and rule after that time. Revelation 16 and verse 17, and it says, "And the seventh angel poured out his vial." It's the bowl plague. It's the seventh bowl plague. So we've had the seventh trumpet. Now the seven bowl plagues are being poured out on the earth, more severe destruction to this earth. And the seventh one, or the last one, as we're reading, is occurring. At this point, the day of the Lord is ending. As God says, it is done. We'll read, I don't know if I read through the totality of this verse, but let me do that. And the seventh angel poured out his vial or bowl into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." Can you imagine that happening on this earth? A voice comes from heaven saying, "This is completed. It's ended. Jesus Christ now is going to take over the reign and rule." You know, when we read through the Old Testament, many times we see where prophets and people of old talk to an angel, talk to the word in those verses. Today, we don't see so much of that. I think that is going to return, though. As we get closer to the end times, that's my perception, that God is going to have to intervene either through a vision, a dream, however he does it, through a miracle to show us what these end times are and what we need to do in each one of them. So we have read that the day of the Lord is done 1 year at length, and at this point the day of the Lord is ending. So we've indicated that on our timeline. Now from the seventh trumpet, God's elect have been taken care of in a resurrection. Yes, at the time, right here of the resurrection, God's people have been taken care of. They've been resurrected, given a spirit body. But what happens to God's people prior to the seven trumpets, prior to this time? That's what I want to deal with a little bit more today. Other events for God's church are outlined prior to this time of being resurrected, that seventh trumpet. What would you imagine in your mind, what you've read in the scriptures, is going to happen from that seventh trumpet back, that period of time, even prior to the seventh trumpet? What is going to occur? Let's get into this today. What happens to God's people prior to the seventh trumpet being fulfilled? In fact, what happens to God's people at the first trumpet and all that it portends and the events prior to this? There is a time called the Great Tribulation, and we'll deal a little bit with this today and how it relates to God's church. And that lasts until the resurrection of the saints. So whenever this time of tribulation happens, it will end right here at the resurrection, but you can go back 3.5 years. The Bible indicates that there are 3.5 years that the tribulation will occur. And it ends at the resurrection of the saints, the return of Jesus Christ. Let's look at this here. I'll reveal some more of our chart. In fact, I think I'll just get it all revealed here. And we'll go from there. We're going to look at Daniel 12 and verse 1, and it's going to relate to this timeline I have here. And I want it to show exactly what is going to happen to God's people. Daniel 12 and verse 1, we'll look here. And it's significant that Michael is going to intervene, that Archangel Michael. There's a couple of times we're going to see where he is a help to God's people, to his church. I'm sure active in it and helping the church, whatever God wants, whatever the Word wants, Jesus Christ. We see here in Daniel 12 and verse 1, and at the time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of your people. That angel is there to help each and every one of us. And it tells us here as we read on, and there shall be a time of trouble, as Daniel tells us, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. This is talking about the Great Tribulation. These are the words of Daniel, how it was written down, but it's a time of trouble. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. As the tribulation begins, God's people will be delivered, so God says through Daniel. Everyone that shall be found written in the book. Well, God has a book that he writes down people's name, keeps track of things, and the people that are called. This is a physical deliverance from the time of trouble that we see here. It is a time before the resurrection. I want to point this out because sometimes we think that we're just going to be protected all the time, but without God's help, that wouldn't happen. So, as we see, let's see if I got this here. Okay, I've indicated that there are 1,260 days going forward that the people of God's church, 3.5 years, that they will be protected until the resurrection. Let's look here at some more events about this. Now, some in Christian society today have thought that, well, the saints are going to be wafted off to heaven and there is going to be a secret rapture, and you've probably seen some of the bumper stickers. If my car is left empty, I've gone for the secret rapture. The secret rapture, and what I found most recently was written by Scofield, who outlined this in his translation of the Bible. Scofield thought that the church would be taken to God's throne for 3.5 years and then returned to the earth. That was his explanation of the church being protected from the great tribulation. When we look for that word rapture, and you can do a word search, there is not the word rapture in the Bible. There is not a secret rapture for God's people. In fact, the word rapture is not in the King James. Let's look and see how secret it is, the return of Jesus Christ to resurrect the saints. Some have portrayed that they'll just be taken away secretive and no one will know what really has happened. But let's look here in Matthew 24 and verse 27. This is such a momentous event that God is not going to just secretly do this. He's going to emphasize it. He is going to have kind of an exclamation on it. If the trumpet and bowl plagues weren't enough, we are going to see here that when the saints are resurrected, when he was resurrected, that there was a visible notation of him being seen in the saints. So Matthew 24 and verse 27. For as the lightning comes out of the east, and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. When he returns, not going to be secretively to usher off the saints, but he is going to come as a bolt of lightning and as the shining of the sun that comes from the east to the west. So Jesus Christ will be visible to all. Visible to all. Jesus Christ is not going to be shy about this. It's going to be dramatic. We know that Jesus Christ's departure was visible also to all. And if he is the first of the first fruits, we could say that we would be seen as visible when we're resurrected, when the saints are resurrected. We could look at an example of someone else, two physical people that will be resurrected, and I believe it's very close to the time of the resurrection, the first resurrection, and it is the two witnesses. Are they seen when they're resurrected? I could say we would group them together with us as we're resurrected. We'll see this in Revelation 11, verse 12. Is this secretive? Is it visible? Is it going to be known? We look here in Revelation 11 and verse 12. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying, "Come up here, come up hither." And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. My New King James says that everyone saw them. Not a secretive thing that God is doing here. Let's go back to Daniel 12. Daniel 12, and we're going to continue on here in verse 1, or verse 2, excuse me. We read verse 1. Daniel 12 and verse 2 tells us, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, come back to life, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. This is at the end of the great tribulation and at the seventh trumpet." So let's look at the Olivet Prophecy. This kind of centers around this time frame that we're talking about. And of course, that is located in Matthew 24, and we're going to start in verse 13. Look at these end time events and what occurs there. Matthew 24 and verse 13 starts out, "But he that shall endure unto the end." So we can't be a part-time Christian. We can't think, well, we're just going to come back and jump on board when events get bad. But we should be full-time Christians. We should be ones that endure until the end. And it doesn't matter when you come into God's church, when you decide to follow God. He tells us from that time on, and when you endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, many times we look at this as being saved, resurrected. But there is a time of being saved physically. Yes, there is a time of saving at the seventh trumpet by the resurrection. That's pretty well saving God's people. But events that happen prior to the seventh trumpet need to be looked at also. In other words, God's people need to be protected or saved prior to the seventh trumpet. Can you imagine not being protected during those first six trumpets and going through what everyone else on the earth is going through as they run into the caves and places of protection and even wish to die because times are so bad? So we must recognize that there is a need to be protected during the time of tribulation. And I've indicated this here. Here is where I believe that the Great Tribulation is going to happen, and God's people are going to need to be protected, go through this period of time. I really haven't made this appropriate size, but I was thinking about this morning. This time frame could be a little under, right here that I have marked, could be a little under 3 years. I didn't make it really proportionate like I should have, but this could be a little under 3 years. Adding on this time frame going forward to the trumpets, you have the time of the resurrection. So the time of the tribulation is 3.5 years. We've seen here as we've read that God is going to save his people. And I believe we could look at this in relation to being saved physically during this time that we're reading about. God's people need to be protected during the time of the tribulation. So let's look at this through the book of Revelation. Let's look here in Revelation 12 and verse 7. Revelation 12 and verse 7, we're going to see that Michael is talked about again, the prince who stands for God's people. He is significant here, being referred to again. And it says here in Revelation 12 and verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Well, we know the dragon is Satan, the devil, and his demons. And they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. They are going to be cast back down to this earth. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. No doubt, as you look at the news today, or this past week, Satan is well and alive, and this whole world is so deceived. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, this is a time in the future. You can only imagine what we endure and go through today, whether it's tests and trials on our job, our health, or whatever significant thing happens. There is coming a time that is going to be worse. It's going to be the great tribulation. God says it's going to be worse than any other thing that has happened on this earth. So he was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Going on to verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, looking what is going to happen in the future. And the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, God is preparing, Jesus Christ is preparing to come back and take the reign and rule over this earth. We see here what Satan the devil has been doing, for he is the accuser of our brethren. Quite different, isn't it, in how Michael treats us, how Jesus Christ and how God the Father intervene in our life and protect us and help us through the tests and trials. But this accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them, before our God day and night. Doesn't let up, does he? and it's going to get worse. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. We're going to overcome the devil and all that is going to occur by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, our testimony, your testimony. Is significant in God intervening and protecting and saving you during this time. It is a matter of what you say, what you do, how you act in accordance with God's truth, that God has seen our testimony, and they that love not their lives unto death. In other words, what does this mean? God's people did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. The first importance was following God, following the Bible, what is in there, the instructions, the Ten Commandments. And we could go on and on and say what God has instructed us in. So in this verse, there's something that seems sometimes a little ironic when we read it. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens. Well, God and Jesus Christ know that events are going forward to what his goal is, and you that dwell in them. I think even the angels will be rejoicing. Michael with the angels that follow him, carrying out God's plan. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. Satan, the devil, knows the Bible. He knows the time frame. He knows that his time is not going to last much longer. And so he wants to make the biggest impact that he can on people, to draw them away from being in God's church. The devil knows what God has caused to be preserved in the Bible, the plan of God. Like his demons, he knows that he is facing 1,000 years of being restrained by God. This is in front of him. It's looming in front of him at this time. So during which time he will not be allowed to interface or influence humanity. And you know, we talked about this during the Feast of Tabernacles when we were there. Satan removed from our midst. God's Spirit put into people on this earth in a significant way. The nature of the animals being changed, a quite different world that we see in the millennium. This is what we're looking forward to. And in this, Satan the devil will be restrained and taken away. We're going to look here in Matthew 8 and verse 28. We'll see how the demons are fearful of this time ahead. Here's an example that Jesus had written down in Matthew 8 and verse 28. And when he came to the other side, Jesus, into the country of the Gergeses, there met him two possessed with devils. And I'm sure that Jesus was able to identify this right off the bat. Coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried, saying, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, the Son of God?" They knew who he was. They know what the plan is, but they're trying to thwart God's plan and to destroy human beings and possess them and do things that they shouldn't. "Behold," they cried out, saying, what do we have to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of God? Are you come here to torment us before the time?" Before the time that they are made captive and taken out of the presence of this world. They are fearing this time. James 2 and verse 19 tells us also that the demons, Satan the devil, is fearing this time ahead. James 2 and verse 19 tells us, "You believe that there is one God. Thou you do well in believing that. The devils also believe and tremble." They are fearful of this time ahead. We're going to go on to Revelation 12. We were there, I believe, at one time. Let's continue on in verse 13. Revelation 12 and verse 13 is we're reading about this significant time of the great tribulation that happens prior to the day of the Lord. It actually goes into it until the resurrection of the saints. But it starts before the day of the Lord. It's significant that God's people would be protected, would be helped. We see here in verse 13 of Revelation 12, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted. That means he went in pursuit to do harm. He went to persecute the woman which brought forth the man-child. Yes, this is a prophecy that has already been fulfilled. He sought to destroy, to take over Jesus Christ. That didn't happen. But it is a dual prophecy. There is something else that is going to happen that refers to the church. As we read the next verse, the reference to the woman is the church in the last days. To you, brethren, to each and every one of us that will be alive at that time. So, as we read verse 14, we must keep in mind what God has promised earlier in Revelation 3 and verse 10. What does God promise to his church during that time of the great tribulation? Different words are used. Hour of temptation. We saw another significant word, time of trouble, in Daniel. But what has God promised to his people? You know, this time of promise of protection is something that the church in the past tried to predict and stamp a date on. I was in Pasadena in 1968 to 73, and I remember it was in January of 1972. People thought that we were going to flee and be protected by God then. We tried to stamp a date on it, and we were incorrect. Does that mean that God is not going to protect his people because we were incorrect? No, he is going to protect his people. He is going to save his people physically. We see here in Revelation 3 and verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, talking about the church, God's people, I will also keep you from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So God is talking about the church being protected during the great tribulation. He has promised to protect and save the church prior to the resurrection. You notice that on this chart, there is a time frame before the resurrection. You've got all of these seven trumpets that will occur. You've got, even before this, days that will occur. God's people need protecting. They need his help, and God has promised that he would give it. So God is talking about the church being protected during the great tribulation. He has promised to protect and save the church prior to the resurrection. We go on here to verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which you have, that no man take your crown. He wants us to be sure that we are about doing God's work. And in verse 14, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. This is what God is going to do to fulfill saving his people prior to the resurrection. So what have we seen here in verse 14? Some very interesting things that are brought out here. And it is true, and I believe these will be fulfilled. You know, sometimes I've heard people say, well, we were wrong back there in 1972, so we just don't want to look at that terminology, a place of protection, place of safety. Brethren, it says it in the Bible. It is real. And I believe that we can be a part of it, that time of protection. So important things that we've seen in verse 14. The church is given two wings of a great eagle. What does that mean? This phraseology is merely pointing to the need for the church to move quickly in response to these events that happen. Another point. The church is to go into the wilderness. The wilderness. One significant place. It is a place other than where the church lives and resides, I believe. The word wilderness has a meaning of a solitary place. It's not like God's people would be put in a place of protection, just dropped in the midst of a big city. Only one place of wilderness is mentioned, not multiple locations. The wilderness is the church's place to reside for 3.5 years, so says the Bible. The wilderness is a place where the church will be nourished, as we read there in verse 14, will be nourished for 3.5 years. How would we look at this verse? Yes, we would be fed. We're still physical human beings. I'm sure we would be nourished by food. But more importantly, I believe it is a reference to being taken care of spiritually. So I think we could look at this in both aspects. The church is going to be protected. You're not just going to be there and do whatever you want. We're going to be fed. We're going to be nourished. And why is this? Because God's church is preparing for an event that is around the corner, 3.5 years, if you will, that will involve the saints being resurrected. Boy, talk about an advanced course to prepare God's church to be nourished. I can only imagine what that would be. You know, like Paul, when he went to Arabia to be taught, to be educated by Jesus Christ, I truly believe that it will be significant, however God wants to do it, whether it's by the Word or Jesus Christ, whether it's by Michael, that angel that is over the church, or however he wants to do it. I think God is going to be on a crash course during those 3.5 years where we will be trained to be better Christians, trained to be better over our family, trained to be better husbands, trained to be better children of our parents, whatever it is, whoever we're involved with, a time of nourishment. Let's look here in Zephaniah 2 and verse 1. I'm not going to say that it's only mentioned once that there is this place of protection. Let's look at a couple other verses. Zephaniah 2 and verse 1. It was prophesied for this to happen and a protection for the church. Sometimes the church is called that nation that is not desired. Zephaniah brings out this terminology. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired, God's church, before the decree bring forth, before the day passes the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger. He's talking about this time when the day of the Lord starts right here, that first trumpet. He wants us to be aware of it. Seek you the Lord, all you meek of the earth, verse 3, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. Here's three things which I'm sure will be applied better in that place of protection. Seeking righteousness. Seeking meekness. It may be that you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. No one wants to be taking on the vengeance of God on this earth during that time. And so God has promised to protect his people, to be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Let's also go here to Jeremiah 6 and verse 1. Jeremiah gives us significant words about what will happen to the church, what will happen, how they will be protected. He doesn't give precisely where God's people will be protected, what's going to transpire, but he gives some information here in Jeremiah 6 and verse 1. O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem and blow the trumpet in Tekoa and set up a sign of fire in Bethakaram, for evil appears out of the north in great destruction. Yes, those armies are going to come from the north, from Jerusalem, and come down. So the only significant way that God's people can be protected and get away from them is to head south, I believe. And these areas of Tekoa and Bethakaram, Bethlehem is right between them, and they're on either side. I'm not pointing to this being the place of protection, but here it is saying that gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem, for there is great destruction coming. Going back to the Olivet prophecy in Matthew 24 and verse 15, we see these significant events that center around Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, where there is captivity coming. You can't help but look at Zechariah 14, the first couple of verses, and see the evil that is coming into Jerusalem. Horrible things. God's people need to be protected prior to that. They need to gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem, as we saw in Jeremiah 6 and verse 1. Going on to Matthew 24 and verse 15. And we can see this even more significantly, can't we, today? News media shows us what's going on around the world. And when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation. As we see what happened prior to this in Daniel. But there is something that's coming in a future time. And it tells us here in Matthew 24 and verse 15, that event that was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso reads, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains. Doesn't say where. I think God will have to direct his people at that time as to where that is and how we are to be there. So there are several references to God protecting his church physically until the resurrection. We see this in Revelation 12 and verse 15. We stopped at 14, so let's continue on. We're going back to Revelation 12 and verse 15. You're identifying that God is going to protect his people. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood. An analogy here. We don't know exactly what that means. After the woman, after the church is what he's saying, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood, to be destroyed, lose their crown, not make it into the place of protection. So water could be a physical water, maybe, but the term used here is generic. It may also be the army of the beast coming after the church, possibly. We'll go on to verse 16. And the earth helped the woman, and I'm sure this is God's intervention here to protect his church. He has promised, as we've seen in Revelation 3 and verse 10, to protect his church. And so we see the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. God's personal intervention to protect and save physically at this time. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, with the church. He realized he's been thwarted. He's not been able to take advantage to destroy the church. But he knows that there are some that just don't want to go to the place of protection, or as we've called it, the place of safety. What happens to them? We see this in this verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the church, with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, those who do not go to that place of protection or safety that God has prepared. But they do keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So those of God's church that are taken to a place of protection will have their physical lives saved. Saved until the return of Jesus Christ at the seventh trump. This is a period of 1,260 days or 3.5 years, that timeline of the Great Tribulation. Those that are not inclined to be in the place of protection are called the remnant, and God has seen their lives and knows that He wants to subject or allow them to be tested to see if they are determined to follow God even unto death. They still have the opportunity to be a part of the first resurrection. Still have an opportunity. We know that those that will have the mark of the beast that Revelation talks about, if you receive that mark that says it will be some type of indication in your hand or forehead, don't know exactly what that will be, but if you take on that and follow the beast's power, follow whatever they direct you to, then there is no protection. But if those that do not go to a place of protection still are determined to follow God, then what will happen is God will see this testing that goes on in their lives will be taken. We see this in Revelation 13 and verse 15. But yet what awaits them will be the resurrection, because in spite of being in that place of protection, they will be a part of God's kingdom on the first resurrection. Revelation 13 and verse 15 tells us, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Yes, Satan does, or the false prophet will, that the image of the beast should speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image, would not take on the mark of the beast, should be killed. People that are not in a place of protection will be killed. The ones who will not take on the mark of the beast, as I said, will lose their lives. We're going to go back here to Daniel 12 and verse 11 as we talk about these days. Can't identify when that time of protection is going to come, but God offers that. It's prior to the resurrection, so He's offering some time of protection. And He gives some indication of what we should look for. In the New Testament, we see that we should look to see what the man of sin is. But the Old Testament tells us to look at some other significant events here we see in Daniel 12 and verse 11, if you'll follow along with me. So as we watch the news, as we stay close to God, we still are to watch events that are happening and ask God for His help to show us. I don't think there's any man that can say or know when this is going to happen, how this is going to transpire. I believe it's going to have to come by an indication, by a vision, a dream, maybe Michael, the angel that is over the church. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But He has promised that He is going to protect His people. So we see here in Daniel 12 and verse 11, significant events that are here. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, end time events. Right now, there are no sacrifices going on in Jerusalem, are there? So there is a time when they are going to start. So we see here, is indicated by Daniel, and Daniel wasn't able to have this explained too clearly to him. He just relaying to us for the church in the end time. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, the abomination that makes desolate set up there in Jerusalem, and we know this is affected by the beast power that will come in to take over Jerusalem that we see in Zechariah 14, that there shall be 1,290 days. 1,290 days. So I've indicated here on this chart what I think is the event, that here we have 1,290 days, and at this point the sacrifices will stop. We'll see something else that is signified here in verse 12. Blessed is he that waits, and I might add, watches, and comes to the 1,305 and 30 days, 1,335 days. So there is a time prior to this 1290. The sacrifices stop here. I believe that 1,335 is the starting of the sacrifices in Jerusalem. If you watch the news and events that are going on, all the priestly garb has been prepared and has been made. A portable area for sacrifices to start has already been built and started. They're looking for other significant things to start the sacrifices. It isn't happening yet. I'm not telling anyone to go home and pack your bags and be on your way to Jerusalem. No. In fact, a couple of years ago, I had a member come to me. Oh, we've got to leave for Jerusalem. I figured out that this is the time when Jesus Christ is returned in the place of safety. Person went to Jerusalem prior to the feast thinking that this was what God had revealed to him as the time for the place of safety. Well, person and family left and came back. Obviously, it wasn't the time. I think God has to significantly show all of us. You know, in my mind, just this is a supposed thing that possibly could happen. I'm not saying that it will. But you try and think of ways that God is going to work this out. What if we all came to Sabbath services and we're talking to one another and we're having fellowship, and I had the strangest dream during this week. And someone else says, well, I did too. And you talk about that dream you had, and it's the same thing. Could God work that way? Well, he could. I'm not saying he will, but he could. He could work it out in a way to cause his people to prepare for that time of protection. So we see here in verse 13, instructions given to Daniel. Go your way till the end be, for you shall rest, Daniel, and stand in your lot at the end of the days. Yes, he's going to be there at the resurrection. He doesn't know exactly what's going on, but God has given him this instruction. So I believe, as Daniel shows us, the sacrifices will begin here at the 1335 days. I think that's significant because they stop right here. Now, if the church is to leave for a place of protection, whatever that is, let's look here. We saw the 1335, the sacrifices begin. 1290, the sacrifices stopped, and Jerusalem is surrounded by the beast army. At that time, there's no hope in going into Jerusalem at that 1290 days and being able to be protected. So God's people, I believe, would need to have God's help for some type of fleeing, wherever it would be, somewhere in this area. I just don't see another window for that. We see here in Luke 21 and verse 19. Luke 21 and verse 19, and it talks about these armies that encompass Jerusalem that will be a part of this abomination of desolation. Luke tells us here in his words, in your patience possess you your souls, your own bodies, your physical bodies. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, and know that the desolation therefore is nigh, it's coming, then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, wherever that is. Can't give any exact indication. And let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them which are in the countries enter therein. So when that army encircles Jerusalem, stops those sacrifices, people aren't going to be able to enter in. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. So, brethren, in conclusion, God has given us indications as to when the seven trumpets happen and also the seven bowl plagues. He has also shown us events of the Great Tribulation in which his church will need to be protected for 3.5 years. We will need this. Otherwise, God's church will be wiped off the earth in a physical way. It will be a time for the church to be protected from the devil and be nourished prior to the return of Jesus Christ to resurrect the saints. So the Bible says, we don't know the day, the hour. We only know that these are going to happen in the future. We know that God gives us an indication through Daniel. The sacrifices are going to begin in Jerusalem. It should be something we watch and are aware of and pray for God's help and deliverance. We know that the man of sin is going to be revealed. I didn't go to Thessalonians to show you that, but he is going to be revealed, understood who he is by the church. And we know through Luke 21 that armies are going to surround Jerusalem. Brethren, these are significant events. Sometimes people in God's church don't want to look at this. Oh, as I said before, we failed in identifying the right date in the past. But the fact is, even though that date was wrong, the truth is that God is still going to protect his people for 3.5 years in events that are going to be quite significant on this earth. And knowing that you are a part of God's church, Satan has a focus to want to destroy you, take away your crown, and not have you be protected. So, brethren, I wanted to give you this information as a review. Sometimes we don't like to talk about these events. We think life will just continue on. We think we'll be protected just in our own homes. I know sometimes that has been taught. Wherever you are is where you're going to be protected. I believe that God gives one place of protection. That is the significant thing. So I think it's something we should be aware of. We watch and wait. God tells us, and Jesus Christ told us, that we should watch, be aware of events that are going on, things you see in the news, things that are leading up to this. And God will protect you. He has promised that through Revelation 3 and verse 10.